another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and I am your most gracious host, Constance Arnold, and I am broadcasting live today from wonderful, exciting Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, I would just like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for joining me tonight from London, from Paris, one of my favorite cities, from Canada, Brazil, and, of course, all of my wonderful listeners in the U.S. And guess what? It's not an accident that you are listening tonight, as I know that the Spirit of God has attracted you here, and be assured that you will find the answers that many of you have been searching for, praying for, and possibly crying for. Well, hello again, and can you believe that it is mid-February already? Amazing, right? You know that I always say that if you want something different this year, you have to do something different. But the Spirit of God really gave me a different way of looking at that as I was driving home tonight thinking about the program. Really, if you want something different this year, you have to be something different. And, you know, we live and we move and we have our being what in God. And so from that powerful place of your being is where you will really begin to transform yourself. You will begin to think differently. Thus, you will begin to do things differently and attract all the good that God has designed for your life. Well, how are you doing? I am having a great week, and I'm doing extremely well. You know that I'm always excited about what God is doing in my life, and I call it living life in the Spirit with God, and how when you live that kind of a life, it's a life of adventure. What do I mean by that? I never know what's going to happen in my day, what miracle, what surprises that God has in store for me. So does that mean that I don't ever have any problems or any challenges? Well, you know the answer to that is no. But right in the middle of those difficult places, if I yield myself, and sometimes I don't, to God or to the Spirit, right in the middle of that, I will grow, I'll gain new insight and new ways of thinking, and ultimately, my highest good will what be manifested in my life. So that's what I've been doing. I've really been practicing on my marathon. That's been very interesting, and you talk about commitment. I'm still at my walk, run 5 miles every other day, and there have been many days when I said, oh, I'm too tired today, but I remembered what Peter Adams said to me, that I am a half marathon walker, runner, and finisher, and so that's my commitment, and that's what I am with the Spirit of God going to do. Well, I have a great show for you tonight, but before we get started, I received a very interesting email, and you know, sometimes I just forget that many of my international listeners don't know a lot about this wonderful city of Atlanta, and I just wanted to share just a little bit. Of course, you know, it's a southern city from my wonderful southern accent. And many people call it the Southern New York. And, of course, we have the busiest airport in the world. And Atlanta is very diverse and is very spread out. As a matter of fact, in Atlanta, we have a joke. Anywhere you go, you will have to drive at least 30 minutes. And so you can experience great city living as well as awesome living in the suburbs. And many music moguls live here. And, of course, Dr. Martin Luther King was born here, and the King Center is here. And so I guess in summary, it is certainly an international city, and I just wanted to share that with my listener who asked me that question. Well, I am really excited about today's guest, and I guess you say, Constance, you're always excited, but today my very special guest is Miss Beth Misner, and she is the author of Jesus and the Secret, Where the Word of God and the Law of Attraction Intersect. So all of my Christians out there who might have been having just a little doubt about the wonderful movie, The Secret, I want you to call some of your friends, because we're going to be talking about these powerful universal principles and how they, it's really the Word of God, it's really the Bible, and how you can begin to take these principles, implement them in your life, and what? Manifest an awesome life. But first, I want you to listen to these quick commercials, and I will be right back.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Hello, I am Constance Arnold, your success coach. It is the beginning of 2012, and are you ready for change? Just imagine starting your new business, or working in a career that you truly love, or possibly attracting your soulmate. With my 25 years of experience, coupled with your eagerness to do the work, you can create immediate, outrageous results. We can partner together to begin creating unlimited possibilities in your life. So visit my website today at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and take a look at the varied coaching packages custom designed to fit your very lifestyle. Remember, you are worth the investment. Well, welcome back from those commercials. And in addition to my coaching, I would like to highly recommend my book, Secrets of Success. It's 25 years, now almost 26 years worth of my career experience. As most of you know, I've coached over 10,000 people during my career, and I'm getting rave reviews about my book, and the Spirit of God really led me to write a workbook. And I guess one of the main things that I hear from people who purchase the book is, Constance, now I clearly understand why I've been making the wrong choices and why things have not been working out for me in my life. So if you've been looking, if you've been searching, and you've been wondering why do I keep making the same choices? How can I change that and begin creating a different, a wonderful, an awesome life that God has already preordained for you? So to get my book, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com, download it, and begin work immediately, and begin to see the awesome shift, the change in the way that you think, and ultimately you'll change what you do. Well, are you ready? My very special guest tonight is Miss Beth Misner, and she's the author of Jesus and the Secret, Where the Word of God and the Law of Attraction Intersect. She is an author, she's a speaker, she's an ordained minister, she's a humanitarian, she's a wife, and she's a mother. My goodness, that's a lot, isn't it? And this is just an awesome book, and she believes that being an ordained minister, that God has really prepared the path, the way for her to really minister to us tonight and to really set some things straight about the Law of Attraction. So, Beth, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you, Constance. I have been super excited about being on the air with you tonight.
Well, Beth and I have had an interesting experience. We've been trying to record this for a couple of times, but we certainly understand that when great things, when great revelation is going to be revealed, that all kinds of things can happen, but we've been diligent. And so, Beth, I'm excited about tonight. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
You did the second time. It is Meisner.
Meisner.
Yes. Yes. So now, you were talking briefly about Atlanta. I know all about Atlanta, having grown up some of my life in Dayton, Tennessee, not too far from you.
Right. And, you know, originally I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee, so we're homegirls.
We could have been neighbors. Who knows?
Right, right. And what an interesting book. But, Beth, what great city are you calling from tonight?
I live with my husband in Claremont, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. So we've been here for probably about 25 years I've been here in this area.
Well, Beth, you sound like you're 25 years old now. So.
I've got a 26-year-old. She's about the same age as your wonderful book.
Oh, wow. That's really awesome. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. You are an ordained minister.
That's right. When I was going to college myself, I went to my younger years, like my kids are now, mm-hmm. I went to a Bible college and got a bachelor's degree in theology, and then I went on to be a stay-at-home mom and raise my kids. When my youngest, who's now 18, was in his sophomore year of high school, I decided I wanted to go back to school and get a master's degree in theology, which is what I did. We graduated at the same time. I graduated with my master's degree, and he graduated from high school. And it was just a little bit before I graduated that I was ordained, and been walking in that ordination since that time and working in ministry and serving, and it has just really been a blessing for me.
Well, you know, I contacted you because you and I both are Christians, and when I saw Jesus and the Secret, where the Word of God and the Law of Attraction intersect, I was so excited to see that because I know that there are so many Christians and so many people, period, who really have a problem with the movie The Secret and the book. So why did you write this great book?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. I was with Rhonda Byrne when she was filming some of the interviews that were appearing in the movie, and she actually came back to the group we were part of together and showed us the movie before it even had the sound mixed and sweetened the way it ended up being. And as I was watching the movie, something was kind of moving inside of me, and I felt this great resonance with a lot of what she was saying, but I heard things in the movie that I knew were going to create some pushback from my community, the Christian community. And I felt, it was in the middle of the night, Constance, at 1 a.m., I woke up and sat straight up in the bed, and I just felt the title coming out of my mouth, Jesus and the Secret. Let's look at where the Bible talks about the principles that have been taught in The Secret, and you know in the book and the movie, Scripture is quoted and Jesus is quoted.
Right.
So I looked around to see if anybody else had written that book at that time, and no one had. There were quite a few books that were showing where the divergence was and where the things that weren't lining up with Scripture and pointing those out, but I didn't see anybody saying, all right, let's take a look at something we could call the Law of Attraction. How is it spoken of in Scripture? What are the principles from the book that we can go to Scripture and find and elaborate on? And that's what I set out to do.
And it's so awesome and it's so interesting. People ask me, Constance, what are you? Are you a Christian? Are you New Age? And I said, well, you know, you can't define me, baby. I said, it's really, I would say that I'm a Christian with expanded consciousness. And I was really excited about the movie, The Secret, because I think that it was a spiritual awakening for many people. And I think that it is a pathway that could bring people closer to God or to Spirit.
Right. You're right about that. The other side of the coin is my friend, I have a real good friend that started to read the book and put it down. She wouldn't even finish it because she felt it was leading her in the wrong direction or leading her in a way that God wouldn't be honored by her even reading it.
Right. And I always say that it's the presence of God, but then there are the principles of God. And I think you did a great mm-hmm. job of merging mm-hmm. the two. So with respect to the law of attraction, what has been your experience? What are the overall objections to the teachings of The Secret?
Well, I because my book is focusing on the positive, I didn't go into that so much in my book, but I did touch on two that I knew from even people seeing the title. I had a guy say, oh, that secret was nothing but a bunch of hogwash. And I had to come back to these 2 points. Here are the main 2 points that he and many others were objecting to. The universe is my genie.
Right.
The universe is my genie. That's a hard one for a Christian to say, you know, look, I don't believe the universe is my genie, and I'm kind of glad the universe isn't my genie, you know. The other point is that I am God, and that's a hard one for someone who is a Christian to really hear that and resonate with that. They can hear, I and my Father am one. They can hear Jesus' prayer that we be one with the Father and Him, just as they are one. They can understand that the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, is one. But to say that I am God is a jump that many, many, many Christians are just not going to make.
Right. I agree 100%. And when I heard the word universe, in my mind immediately I thought, well, that's just another word for God. But I can certainly understand how some Christians would think that. So what are some common things or some breakthrough messages that the Bible or that Jesus or that Christians have with the law of attraction?
Okay, good, great question. I think probably the most prominent one from the movie that jumps out at me is ask and you shall receive. That came in the book. The quote was right from Scripture, and in the movie as well, just right from Scripture, ask and you shall receive. The importance of gratitude. The fact that our Bible teaches us the visible is brought forth from that which is not visible, from the invisible. What you focus on expands. Scripture talks about that as a principle in the pages of the Bible. And the importance of focusing on things that are above, things that are in what normally would have been called God's realm, but we have the ability with the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to focus on those things and to know the will of God. And when you ask about a breakthrough concept, I think for many Christians, even thinking that they can know the will of God feels somehow blasphemous. But that's what our Bible says, that we have the mind of Christ, that the Holy Spirit tells us what the will of God is. And I believe we can ask, believe, and receive because we do it knowing the will of God.
Well, let's spend a little time on some of those concepts that you just shared. Let's just start with ask, believe, and you shall receive, which I know that's just Mark 11:23-24, that when you pray, believe you receive it, and then you shall have it. Expound on that entire concept of how do we ask, how do we believe, and then how to receive.
You bet. I think when we unpack Mark 11 and also where it's repeated in said in Matthew 21, that it's really important to examine Jesus' whole teaching on prayer. And in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, he was teaching again on this, and he was saying that that you need to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, right? And you will receive it, you will find it, and the door will be open to you. And it's important to know the will of God, that as we are praying and asking and knocking and seeking, that we're tuned in with God's Spirit, with the principles of God, to ask God to give me something that is not going to bring him glory or that's going to hurt him. I don't believe that he will bring that into my life no matter how much I ask for it. And I'm glad that he doesn't.
Well,
I'm glad he doesn't.
God came, Jesus came that we might have life and having it more abundantly. So anything mm-hmm. that is abundant, because we know that poverty is a curse, poverty in your thinking, poverty in any area. And so to know the will of God, I believe you look in Scripture and you can see it's the will of God for you to be healed, whole, abundant, be in a great family. And mm-hmm. I think that the great thing that the Bible has in line with the law of attraction was that when you pray, believe you receive it regardless of what your circumstances look like.
That's right. Don't limit God from what your experience is. You can't limit him and say, I could never have that because I'm here now, when it is God's intention to bless you immeasurably more than you can even ask, think, or hope for, right?
Right, right. And then additionally, you mentioned focus. And the law of attraction says that whatever you consistently and continually focus on is what will manifest in your life. And I believe that what you focus on gets bigger. So expound on how does the scripture or the Bible really merge or intersect with the whole principle of focus?
I agree with you 100%. And the secret does say that what you focus on expands. And we see Jesus teaching about this in the Sermon on the Mount, where he's talking about if your focus is on sinful thoughts, that's what's going to come into your life. And I think that by teaching the obverse or the opposite of, you know, where we say God wants abundance in your life, and Jesus is teaching it from the other direction, saying if you focus on how much you hate your brother, you're committing murder in your heart, because that opens the door in your heart for you to actually imagine that you might commit that crime, and you break down those barriers and the natural abhorrence you might have to doing something like that, and it makes you more prone to have a fit of rage and maybe behave in a way that you wouldn't have done if you didn't focus on that hatred. If you're focusing on love, somebody who you might consider an enemy could do or say something that was meant to wound you. And because you've been focusing on a loving heart, a loving response toward them, it doesn't have the power to hurt you.
Right. You know, that is so true. And I noticed in your book, you talk about focus on Jesus. And I remember Joseph Prince said that whatever we behold, whatever we focus on, we become.
And I thought
that was so good. Whatever you behold. So if you behold lack, if you behold not enough, if you behold, oh my goodness, but if you behold Jesus, the love of God for you, you're going to become what you behold.
Absolutely. And that, to me, that's the whole point of spiritual formation, is to be formed in the image of Christ, to be Christ. You say, I am not God. I am Christ to this world. I am Christ to this world. I am Christ to my kids. I am Christ to my husband. And then my life looks totally different than it would have looked if I hadn't focused on that.
Right. And additionally, you mentioned gratitude, which is so big and so awesome. And there are so many even scientific studies behind gratitude. Elaborate on the power of gratitude. And I noticed in your book, you said the Bible says that in everything give thanks. So Beth, are you saying in everything give thanks?
In everything. I'll give you a personal example here and how I'm applying this in my life. I have ears that ring constantly. I think it's been 15 years that I've had ringing in my ears, a very high-pitched frequency. And I don't know if this is a coincidence, but I'm just going to tell you what happened, all right?
Okay.
On Sunday, I started saying to my ears, you are doing such a great job testing all these frequencies of sound. Thank you so much. I am so grateful that you are doing such a wonderful job. I hear all the sounds in the bands of the frequencies. My brain is working well. I can receive the sounds. Thank you so much. I really love the job you're doing. And just really felt gratitude toward the hard work my poor ears are doing. Yesterday, for the first time in 15 years, I had 3 20-minute breaks where I had no ringing in my ears.
Wow. And so basically what you're saying is right in the middle of what some people might perceive to be very difficult or very irritating or annoying, mm-hmm. you made a quality decision mm-hmm. that you were going to base your behavior on what the Word of God said, which is in everything give thanks.
In everything give thanks. That's right. Now, did that make my ears stop ringing? You know, I'm not going to start going and telling people that that's what made my ears stop ringing, but I think there was a shift in my own experience of resistance to the fact that they were ringing and ringing and ringing, and I really wish they would stop. Now I'm saying, I'm so grateful that my ears are working so well that they're sending me this test signal. Can you hear all these frequencies? Can you hear the high one? Can you hear the low one? And I'm really glad and I'm really grateful. And now's the time when they stop doing it.
Well, you know, that's just a great example for listeners all over the world tonight, Beth, that no matter what your circumstances are, and I say this all of the time, you can begin to be grateful for who you are, where you are, what you have, and who God is in your life. And once you do that, even scientifically, scientists have really discovered that you change the vibrational frequency.
Absolutely, and that has an impact on every cell in your body.
So you talked a little bit about vibrational frequency and magnetism. Expound on that a little bit. What is that, and how can we begin to employ that into our everyday lives?
All right, at the very least, and I go further personally, but maybe someone for the very least they could do is see it as a metaphor. There are so many ways elements of nature expound upon some characteristic or trait of God. And I think the fact that we live in a world that is made up of energy, you've got a solid table in front of you, but that table is not solid. It's full of molecules with atoms, it's full of neutrons and protons and things that are moving and vibrating. Every element on the periodic table, the first thing you learn when you take chemistry is that every element on that periodic table has its own frequency. And that's the rate of vibrational flux that particular object, based on how many molecules and atoms it has of certain types. I'm not a scientist, so I can't really get my mind around all of the intricacy of it. I just know that we live in a world that is full of vibration and full of frequency. I had a guy blow my mind about 2 months ago. He said that, you know, the question, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody around to hear it, does it make a sound? And everybody's like, of course it makes a sound. The sound is going to happen whether you're there or not. And he said to me, no, it won't make a sound. It will make a wave. There will be a sound wave that will be created by the displaced air. But until that is received by a brain through an ear, there's no audible sound because of the sound wave. It's the sound wave, the vibration of the wave, the frequency of the wave that our brain interprets as sound. So now you can go home and you can tell your kids that when the tree falls in the forest, it does not make a sound if nobody's there to hear it.
Well, that's good. You know, you also talked about the whole vibration of how everything, we live 96% in the invisible.
There's only 4% of our universe that is visible and measurable and quantifiable. And atheistic science is telling you that. Not, I don't mean that every scientist is an atheist.
Right.
There are scientists who are atheists who affirm that. That's true. That is real. That's reality. So what is that other 96% that is unseen, that is not visible? And our Bibles tell us that which we have, what has been created, was made not out of that which is seen, but out of that which is unseen.
Well, you know, that's so true, and I call it that fourth dimension is where God is, where spirit is.
Ooh, it's exciting.
Right, it is exciting, and so we take our faith on this third level, or this third dimension, and go up in that fourth dimension and bring down into our lives what we really desire. And you were talking about frequency, and you talked about the frequency of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds
good.
What does that mean?
It feels good too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, because you know, spirit is not, it's not flesh and blood. There is a different energy field, a different vibration or a different frequency. Spirit, I believe, but the Bible tells us that spirit can be manifest. The angels who are spiritual, they were manifest and made visible. Jesus was made manifest. But the energy of the Holy Spirit is so much more than what you and I are. And the amazing thing is that Scripture says that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, inhabits us, that we are the Spirit's temple. And as such, I think we're in a partnership with the Holy Spirit, that this whole thing about the universe being my genie, I'm part of what God and what the universe and what the Spirit want to do on the earth. And they get to live through me and in me and by looking through my eyes and speaking through my mouth. It's so, so exciting.
It is exciting. And, you know, for me as a Christian, you know, when you talk about the Word of God, it says that the Word of God is alive and active.
Mm.
And I see that as vibrating. And that's why
Absolutely.
When you speak the Word of God out, I believe that the frequency of the Word of God is just really, really very powerful. Well, what
yes.
other similarities do you see between the movie The Secret, The Law of Attraction, and Jesus?
Well, I think that just the issue of faith. They don't use the word faith, let's say, in The Secret, but they do talk about really believing. And I will never forget the scene where the young guy was in his easy chair and imagining he was sitting in his Ferrari and he was shifting and he was steering the car. And that's a type of faith, really having evidence within your whole being that what you hope for is so. It is real. It is true. That doesn't mean you stop there. There still has to be energy expended on your part. You've got to set the goal. You've got to make the choices that help you get to that end result. Are there times when things miraculously come into your life? Yeah, but I think part of that, too, is, again, you've activated the reticular activating system of your brain and your mind because you have the faith that God is doing that in your life and that it can be used to serve Him and that it will bring Him glory. And you pray with faith, believing and not wavering, and God makes it so.
Well, you know, everything that I've gotten in my own life best personally has been through faith. And I didn't see it, I didn't feel it, but, you know, the Bible says that when you pray, believe you receive it, and then you
mm-hmm.
shall have it. And so that means that for my listeners, when you really put faith in God, that what God tells you, you can take it to the bank, and that it's impossible for God to lie.
Absolutely.
You may get a scripture or something that you can hold on to, and you hold on to that. And as I said earlier, your faith will actually go and purchase that desire, that burning desire on the inside of you, and bring it to your house. I remember many years ago, Beth, I was believing for a car, and I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again because you need to hear it again. And I was believing for a Mercedes, my first Mercedes, and I said, I want a Mercedes. I want one. And I remember I did not have the money to buy the car, but I bought a keychain.
Oh,
I'm
going to
start
good.
With the keychain, and then I started with the license plate. That was my faith working.
Mm-hmm.
I had a picture on my refrigerator. I would see myself driving with the emblem. And then I did everything I knew how to do in the natural. And
mm-hmm.
I remember over time, and I held that belief. I believed God. I did my part, and God did His part.
Yes.
I remember when they drove that car to my condo at that time, the Spirit of God said to me, Constance, now that's faith.
Oh, how wonderful. I'm glad you told the story because I didn't hear it before.
Right. And he said, take that same principle and use that to manifest other things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've taken that principle and used it.
Yes. Excellent.
And so faith is a great component in the secret and in the Bible. And, you know, you also talked about love. And Rhonda Byrne has a new book out on the power of love. Have you read that book?
I am reading it now. I've not finished it, but I do have it, and I have read parts of it. And I think she's absolutely right that love is the highest frequency or vibration or energy in the entire universe, holds the universe together.
And so if a person is trying to create or manifest or change their lives, how important is it for them to be operating from a place of love? Because we know that God is love, and if we live and we move and we have our being in God and that we're operating out of that, do you feel that it's easier for people to be creative and expressive, et cetera?
It's critical. I think it's critical that they live their lives with everything bathed in love and wrapped up in love. I think, and others have said this, and I think they're right, the reality that those of us who follow the Lord Jesus and we don't live that way, we are an aberration to the world, and they can't understand how a Christian who follows the Lord Jesus doesn't already live that way.
Right, and something just came to my mind as we're talking, Beth, that I think there's a verse in the Bible that says, faith worketh by love.
That's right.
And what does that mean? That means that when you're walking in love, and when you're being in love, no matter what anybody has done to you, how they've treated you, if you choose to forgive them and release them from that place of love, I believe that miraculous things can begin to happen in your life.
Mm-hmm. It will change the whole world. Absolutely.
It's a powerful concept. You talk also about knowing the will of God, and I know that a lot of people are trying to manifest houses, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but expound on knowing the will of God, and how important is that?
And I hope we can go back and talk about the material focus.
We can.
I want to hit that. I think that knowing the will of God, which somehow seems so mysterious and so unattainable, is vital, and it is attainable. But the Bible tells us we have the mind of Christ. Like I said earlier, that the Holy Spirit would lead us into the truth and the knowledge of God's will. I do love what Paul wrote in Romans 12. He said, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So when we yield ourselves to God and to the Spirit of God, and we let that change the way we think, sometimes, now it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes something we've become fixated on, we feel suddenly God removes that attraction for us or that desire for that particular thing, because that's not in God's will for us. But I believe if there is something that you want that's specific, like your Mercedes, and part of the desire in asking for that is to serve God with it, to do good in Jesus' name with it, I don't think there's anything that God will withhold from us, because Jesus said, you know, the Father, if it's in his power, he's not going to give you a snake if you ask him for a piece of bread. He's going to provide for you and give you the things that you not only need, but also that you want. He wants you to be happy.
Well, you talked about changing our thinking. How important is that, and how does Jesus and the Bible and the law of attraction and the secret intersect with changing our thinking? You know, we've heard said, change your thinking and you'll change your world. And I understand that you're in a group with all of the Jack Canfields and all of those great guys. So what is your thinking, and what is their thinking on that? And how do you think that Christians who are listening can really begin to, you know, accept that and embrace that?
Right, right. Great question. Self-limiting beliefs. We have self-limiting beliefs. We say, you know, this, I could never do that. I could never do this. this could never happen for me. And I think in doing that, we're shortchanging God, who in Ephesians, we're told, will do immeasurably more than we could even think or hope to ask for, right? So if you limit yourself, you're limiting God because you have that belief that's limiting yourself, and you don't even ask for those things. You don't ask many times for God to change your thinking. You often ask for God to change that quality about you. Please change the fact that I can't lose weight. But you're still focusing on it as fact, right?
Right.
And I think that's where the power is changing your thinking and saying to God, please show me how I can lose weight.
And so
help me be fit.
And so should a person listen, should they pray to God, God, please change my thinking in this area?
In any, here's my blanket prayer. If there is any thought in me, Lord, that is not pleasing to you, please change it. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, and I want my thoughts to be your thoughts.
Right.
That's my first supplication.
Right. And, you know, the Bible says that as a man thinketh, so is he.
That's in Proverbs.
Thoughts are very, very important. And,
so
you know,
important.
You said you wanted to get back to the whole money wealth principle.
Yep.
Let's talk about that, because in The Secret and the Law of Attraction, you know, there's a lot about wealth. And the number one question that I get is, how can I attract wealth into my life, more money? And y'all know I say this every week, but I'm going to say it again. Les Brown says, everybody says that money is not important, but it's right up there with oxygen. And so how can people not want to desire money? People commute 1 hour, 2 hours a day just to make money. So talk about God's perspective on wealth and money, and how does that intersect with the law of attraction and Jesus?
Sure. Well, the Bible is a book of examples, and there are many examples in Scripture of extremely wealthy individuals who are men and women of God. You've got Abraham, extremely wealthy.
Right.
You've got Solomon. He was the richest man in the world. You've got Lydia in the New Testament church, who was extremely wealthy and opened her home to Paul and to the church. So I think right there you can see through the pages of the Bible that God doesn't look down on monetary wealth or value. He blessed Job more than he had blessed him in the beginning at the end of the book of Job. So to me, what I see in the Scripture and what I also see in The Secret and in the Law of Attraction is, what is your motivation? Why do you want the wealth? Is it because your heart is so full of love that the more you have, the more you can give? You can't outgive God. I've tried. It's not possible. And the more your motivation for that wealth is in line with the frequency or the vibration of the Holy Spirit, the more like a magnet your life becomes. And it happens in so many people's lives. The more they give, the more they receive. And that's a biblical principle too.
Well, you know, I interviewed Jack Canfield and Bernie Dorman, who's Jack's coach. And Bernie said on the airwaves that Jack is one of the most giving and generous people on the planet that he knows.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, more comes back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And in my own life right now, I'm not really seeking anything. The only thing I'm really seeking is God. I'm one with God. And every day, the plans and the purposes that he has for me. And then on that basis, just like it says, I think, in Matthew, that when I seek first the kingdom of God, or will I seek first what God has called me to do, then things are added to me.
Right, right. So what grows in your heart then is God's will and God's wish for how you are to use those things.
Right.
That's where we bless God. How can you bless God? People are like, he's God. How can I bless God? That's how you bless God.
And, you know, if you're just seeking things, I mean, you know, Whitney Houston just died and how tragic that is. And, I mean, she had so many riches, but she didn't have peace of mind. And I'm just telling my listeners, all of you all know I believe in wealth and I have it, but that is not my focus.
Right.
My focus has always been God. What is your will? What is your plan for my life? And even all of my goals, you know, that I'm so just adamant about writing. I even take my goals and I lay them before God and say, God, this is what I believe that you desire for me for this year. But if any of these are not your will, I release them to you.
That's right. Beautiful. And what a beautiful woman you are, Constance.
Well, thank
That's
you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. And so
That's
is there
wonderful.
Anything else you would like to share about what you would like to share with queer Christians? So what do you feel like is the primary purpose of the law of attraction?
I believe the primary purpose of the law of attraction is to create the spirit of Christ within us, spiritual formation, for us to focus on his characteristics, his character, his embodiment, and be Christ to the world, and also to change the environment around you because you are becoming Christ more and more every day. The wealth is great, the houses are nice, the cars are wonderful, but your character, you know, your character is the only thing you're going to take with you. You're not going to take the house and you're not going to take the car or the jewelry, but you're going to take your soul. So using the law of attraction to focus on God's character, to be spiritually formed in the image of Christ, to build your faith, and to transform not only your part of the world, but the entire world through a life lived with love as its highest frequency is, to me, the ultimate in the law of attraction. It's the ultimate, and it works, and it's powerful, and there's nothing woo-woo or new age or weird about it. It's God, and it's how God works.
So, Beth, some people may say, Beth, that's easy for you to say. You have money. You're an author. You're living out there, living the big life in California. But I have a mortgage to pay, and I was just laid off my job. What would you say to them?
You know, I would like to say something to the people around them, the ones who've been laid off and has a mortgage to pay. If I am living a godly life, I am going to come around my brother when he's been laid off. I'm going to come around my sister when she's got the mortgage to pay. And out of my abundance, I am going to give. And that's going to change that person. So what I say in those situations, I say to the church, are you looking after your own? Are you helping your brother and your sister? Are you bringing them in for a meal? Are you taking them out to grocery shop? Are you helping the homeless? What are you doing to make their way a little bit easier and a little bit happier? I got to tell you, I've had nothing, and I've had more than I can imagine that I would ever have in my life. And happiness does not come from the wealth. Happiness comes from living in alignment with God's will.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. I just heard Oprah interview Viola. I don't know her last name, but she's been nominated for Best Actress from the movie The Help.
Yes, right, The Help.
And
yeah.
She said something very interesting. She said that once you get wealth, it's never what you thought it would be.
That's true.
And that's
you still, boy, you still, there are still things you cannot have. There are, and there's always going to be somebody that's a whole lot richer than you are. It's all relative. So your happiness has to come from that which cannot rust and decay. It has to come from that which can never rust and decay.
And so, Beth, for someone who may have been away from the church or they may feel alienated, how can they begin to develop a deep relationship for God? And what's your thinking on the church? Because so many people are turned off by the church and they're just like, I want to stay away from that. What's your thinking on the church? And how can someone who may feel alone, how can they develop a deeper relationship with God?
Oh, wow. Boy, you want to do another show with me, Constance? We should do another show. You know, you bring up a point that's near and dear to my heart. I have recently, about a year ago, started a Christian community, a Christ Christ-centered community in Claremont. It is not a church. It's called the Journey Center, and it's a spiritual community for people who love Jesus, who want to study the Bible, who want to develop that relationship with God. But for whatever reason, and it's not mine to judge them whether they're good reasons or not good reasons, they're allergic to church. They've had a bad experience, or it was never something they were attracted to in the first place, or they've been wounded extremely badly, or they were had it shoved down their throat, and there's no way they're going to go near it now. But they want that community, and after all, that is what the church is a spiritual community. So gathering together, being with others who are of like mind, that cannot be underestimated, and the Bible even says not to forsake the gathering of yourselves together. That doesn't, to me, mean that it has to be in a certain place at a certain time on a certain day. It can look different. It can look unlike anything you had considered it might look like. It may be a book discussion group. It may be a group of ladies that go for a walk together and spend that time getting prayer requests and praying with one another and engaging with God in some way. But we need to be together. I think it's very hard for that solo individual who wants to be closer to God to not have the community around them. That's very, very important, I believe.
Well, I'm so excited that you've opened that center because there's such a great need for it. And so for someone who may feel alienated, how can they begin to get closer to God? What are some steps that they can take? Should they start praying? Should they meditate? What should they do?
You know, I think it's good to be honest with God. And if you are alienated from God and you're mad, I have a friend who had something really terrible happen in her life, and she got flaming mad at God because he let it happen. You got to tell him that. Don't hide that from God. He knows it anyway, right? And I don't think it's wrong to say, I'm really angry about this, God. Help me understand it. Open my eyes to see what I'm missing here because I believe you're a good God. Maybe you don't believe that he's a good God anymore and you're doubting that. Be honest with your doubts. Be honest with your questions. And again, I think it's great to find somebody to walk alongside of you, a spiritual director, a spiritual coach. Even if it's an internet church that you can stomach, you can handle it, you know, you can sit there and you can hear someone who's speaking in a way that resonates with your soul. Don't try to stay alone. Find someone to come alongside of you and walk with you.
Well, Beth, what is one of the most outstanding demonstrations using the law of attraction or using your faith that God has manifested in your life personally?
That's a really, really good question. The house that my husband and I are living in right now, my husband was actually filmed by Rhonda to be in The Secret, but John Azaroff's story about his house admittedly was much, much better. But we have a great instance of something being manifested in our lives that we just did not. We wanted it. We thought we wanted it, you know, and so we were shooting for it, but we didn't. It was a shock. It just startled us when it actually happened. So that little bit of, is that really going to happen? We were driving on a Sunday, doing a Sunday drive, and my husband looks over at the house that I'm living in right now and said, that's my dream house. I want to have a house like that someday. And 2 months later, I drove up the same street with my mother to show her some of the houses that we were looking at in the neighborhood that I live in now, and they were putting a for sale sign up for the house.
Wow.
So I called my realtor, who got in touch with the selling realtor, and we came in, saw the house, made an offer. There was counter offer for, you know, 5 or 6 times, and we were able to swing the deal, and we were able to get into the house. We made a commitment to this house, and this is giving me goosebumps. We made a commitment to the house. Now, that might sound strange, but we told the house, you're going to be a working house. We're going to use this house for fundraisers for nonprofits and charities. We're going to open the house for home tours that benefit the hospital or the school district, whatever we can do. And so this is a working house. I had a woman drive by this place last year, and she was taking some of the elderly from a nursing home in my community that need to get out, and they were just doing a drive. And she stopped. I was out in the yard pruning the roses, and she said, would you come here for a second? I said, yes. And I came up to the car, and she goes, I have to tell you something. And she said, forgive me if you think I'm strange, but I can see the Spirit of God streaming out of the windows of your house.
Wow.
And to me, that was just music to my ears.
Wow.
I'm getting emotional just right. thinking about
that's
her saying that
that's
to me,
amazing.
You know?
And I'm so glad I asked you that question, because I think my listeners need to hear that. So what you're saying is, originally your husband was filmed by Rhonda Byrne to really share the story that you just, in summary, shared with
that's
our
right.
listeners tonight.
That's right. Yeah, and he jokes because he says he ended up on the cutting room floor. But truly, the story that John Azaroff told about the vision board, and that he had packed the vision board up and moved several times, and he was unpacking it with his little boy nearby in his dream home in San Diego, and he started to cry because he realized that the picture on the vision board was the actual house he was in.
Amazing.
Yeah, that one needed to be in the movie.
Right.
It really did.
What a story. Hey, I want you to send me a picture of that house, Beth. I want to take a look at it. So, Beth, how can people reach you? Are you available to speak? How can they purchase your book?
Thank you so much. I have a website. It's Beth Meisner, MISNER.com. And you can do all of that at the website, or you can download my book on your e-reader, whether it's your iPad or a Nook or a Kindle, any kind of e-reader. Just go to Amazon.com or to iTunes or to Smashwords, right? Yeah. I don't use that site, so for a minute I was saying Smashbox, but I think that's something else.
That's makeup.
yeah, there you go. And Amazon.com, you can buy the print copy. Or if you want to connect with me through BethMeisner.com and you'd like an autographed signed copy, I can make that available to your listeners as well.
And I'm going to strongly encourage all of you to get this book. It's a great read. All of my Christians out there, you need to get this book to see where the Word of God and the Law of Attraction really intersect, how they're all one. It's really awesome. And I know that it is certainly the Holy Spirit that guided you in writing this book, to Beth. And I'm so glad that we were able to complete this recording. And that's an inside joke.
Thank you, Constance. I really appreciate you taking the time to connect with me. And I just praise God for that connection. And however He led you to me, and I'm just so thrilled to have been able to speak with your audience tonight, and just thank you so much, and you keep on doing the good work you're doing.
Well, thank you, and once again, I want you to get this book, and Beth, your website again, one last time, is what?
It's Beth Meisner, MISNER.com.
Well, I'm glad you pronounced your last name correctly, because I certainly did not at the beginning. But you know who I'm talking to.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. Tell 3 of your friends about this podcast. Also, remember, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And remember this. God loves you, expect a miracle, and the best is yet to come in your life.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.